So there's always this, the endemic sinfulness of the people of God. On the other side, the holiness of God. The holiness of God has to be compromised to sinless people to come in, and it will not be compromised. With sinfulness, you cannot enter into the holiness of God. You're unrighteous. And how that is going to happen is through the sacrifice and the suffering of the servant, so that we can enter into the holiness and become righteous in the presence of God. And that has been explained here. Prophesied to the people of Israel, not only to the people of Israel, the previous verse talks about to the nations as well. To the nations and to the Israelites, they will see the light of the Lord. It says, he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Like a shoot comes out of this dry ground. You know, in Israel, you don't see much of rain. You see some in the early part of the year and some later part of the year. At times the valleys become very dry and it's full of clay. With the sun scorching, it becomes so hard, like a baked cake cracking in between. And out of it there'll be a small shoot that comes out, sticking out with hope and life. It says like that, in the middle of that, people were not pleased. His appearance is not something pleasing people or drawing. It's not like in the Psalms how it had been explained about the Lord. People despised him, rejected him. And they thought, they considered him stricken by God. Fourth verse says, surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we consider him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. He has to go through all this, the pain and the suffering. And people looked at him and thought, God has struck him. But they didn't understand. It is their own transgression. It is their own infirmities that a servant has to suffer. Verse 5 says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. He was crushed for our iniquities, for our transgression. But in all that, he brought peace for us. He brought healing for us. You know, when we sinned against God, we became enemies of God. Romans chapter 3 very clearly talks about we all fallen short of the glory of God and became enemies of God, but he justified us freely through his Son. And today we could see in this passage, which has been prophesied 700 years ago before Jesus, what is going to come, the redemption for the people of God. And that is through the suffering of the servant. And he will remove the enmity and he will bring peace with God, so we can stand in righteousness. Not of our own righteousness, but the righteousness that comes to the suffering of the servant of the Lord. And we'll be healed by his wounds. Verse 6 says, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. It is the Lord who laid this on him. In our place, Jesus, the servant, has to suffer. Sometimes people think that it is a Satan who does this. But as the scripture very clearly explains to us, one other thing which always in front of my heart, which helps me to remember all the time, it is we are saved from God, we are saved by God, we are saved for God. We are saved from the wrath of God, the judgment of God, and we are saved by His grace. And we are saved to worship Him. Here the judgment of God has been placed upon the servant so that through His grace we can come in righteousness, not our righteousness, of His righteousness to worship Him. And today as we stand here, it is because of that. The nations, the Israelites, and even us today. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet He did not open His mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent. So He did not open His mouth. As you look at this verse, He did not open His mouth. He was silent. He did not open His mouth. The Lord has laid this upon Him, and He did not open His mouth. We see in the New Testament the life of Jesus, which is fulfilled. Jesus, when He was brought to Caiaphas, the high priest, to be questioned, the false witness been brought against Him, and He asked, is there no answer? And He did not open His mouth, according to the Gospel of Matthew. And we could see He brought before the Pilate and did not answer. And He found no wrong in Him. He was silent. And later we could see He brought before Herod. And Herod wants to taunt Him and ask Him to do some miracles. He did not open His mouth. He was silent. Because He trusted upon the One who justifies rightly. Because He know the will of God. He know the will of God for Him to suffer. So that the many lives will be saved and made righteous in the presence of God. At times, it also remembrance for us. Do we trust God in His will, in what He lays upon us at times? Do we trust in Him, or do we take things in our own hands as believers in Christ? There are times you want to give a piece of your mind, but those are the times where you're supposed to keep the peace to yourself so you will have peace in your heart. Trust the Lord when you love something in your life. And we could see as it goes by, He was oppressed and afflicted, yet He did not open His mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before a shearers is silent, so He did not open His mouth. By oppression and judgment He was taken away, and who can speak of His descendants? For He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people He was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death, though He had done no violence, nor was any deceit in His mouth. He was oppressed, and judgment He was taken away. We have gone as a sheep astray, but the Lamb of God has to suffer for our mistakes. He was stripped, He was humiliated, like a lamb taken to the shearer. But not only that, to the slaughterhouse, the life is going to be taken. It was cut off from the land of the living because of the transgression of his people. He was stricken. He was assigned with the wicked, grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death. When you come to this part, you get confused. What is this? There's a mixture of honor and dishonor. He was assigned a grave with the wicked. We could see in Jesus' life, in his death, there was thieves next to him. Though he's sinless, he's counted among the sinners. But some of the scholars say that they struggle with, what is this assigning a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death? Because we see in the life of Jesus, after the death, when he says it is finished, right after that, in his burial, he was not thrown in the Sheol or Hades outside the city as if he's nobody, but he was brought down. And the women came to tie those cloth around him, put those ointment, and bury him in a rich man's burial ground. And we see in the book of Matthew, this man called Joseph from Arimathea goes to Pilate, asks for permission, brings him down, lays him in a place which was bought for his own. When Jesus said, "It is finished," the suffering, it is finished. And God has exalted his son. Not until the resurrection, the exaltation starts right after the burial. Because he suffered, not for his sin, for our sins. Though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offering and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hands. See, God did not leave him there. After the death, it's not over. But there is victory. There is life after death. And God raised him from death. And God was satisfied through his suffering servant. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. And God glorified him and exalted him, which we see in the previous verse, chapter 52, verse 13. See, my servant will act wisely. Wisdom in the scripture connects with the knowledge of God, knowing God intimately, not intellectually alone. Intimately, personally, and we see that in the suffering servant, the wisdom of the Lord is revealed, and through that, many are saved, and God is satisfied. And God will give him a portion among the great, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. As I said, this is revealed many, many centuries later in the life of Jesus, in his suffering, in his death. God's wrath was satisfied. I recently saw a post on, I remember it's on Facebook. It is not a true story, it's an imaginative story asking this question. There was a group of kids playing on the middle of the road, and a truck driver was coming. As he saw these children playing, he doesn't know what to do. He didn't have time to put the brakes. So he swerved the truck and went to the other side of the road, which is a playground. And there's this one child who was playing in that playground, whose life was in danger now. The question at the bottom of that posters, it says that, do you think what the driver has done is right? Many people have commented saying yes, because instead of this group of children, only one life was in danger, the many were saved. But the person have posted a question, but this one child was obediently playing inside a playground, but the rest were playing in the middle of a road disobediently. It just made me to think about our own life. We as children of God, who are supposed to worship Him, obey Him, love Him, we disobeyed, we rebelled against God. We went against the will of the Lord. But God, instead of taking it upon us, He took it upon His own servant, His own Son, Jesus Christ, so that we will be made righteous in His presence, so that we will enter into the holiness, so that we can become children of God and have peace with God. Through His stripes, we are healed. Through His stripes, we are healed and we'll have peace with God. So now, going back to the story in the beginning, why did these people run away? But why did these Christians run into the suffering? Because they know their Savior who suffered for them and loved and gave their own lives for their sake. In Matthew Gospel chapter 16 says, those who want to save their life will lose it, but those who lose their life for the sake of Jesus will save it. Suffering, God has a purpose in it. And what does this offer to us? A great assurance of salvation and a great reminder for us. Just like those people at that time did not be a witness, who was supposed to be a witness, who are blinded, who did not see, who despised, who esteemed him not. At times we are in that place of that guilt as well. And it's a great reminder today for us to come to see Him, come to believe Him. Let's close our eyes and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time, O Lord. You didn't